And then Jeremiah 31, 1 to 9. The last sentence in 24. In the latter days, you will understand. And you can read the rest of the chapter 30. But at that time, declares the Lord, in the last days, at that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when it went to find its rest, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Again, you shall take up your tambourines and go forth to the dances of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy them, for there shall be a day when watchmen on the hills of Ephraim shall call out, Arise and let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, Sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chiefs of the nations, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I am bringing them from the north country, and I will gather them from the remote parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and she who is in labor with child, together. A great company, they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and by supplication I will lead them. I will make them walk by streams of waters, on a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Here we go.
A year older, and hopefully a lot wiser. As Richie says, the wise old owl, that's what he calls me. He's not here to give him a little chuckle in that patented Richie. Uh-huh. I was somewhat amused as I walked through the scriptures yesterday in my preparation time. Kind of had a silly smirk on my face. Some of you know what that looks like. Because I kept coming across references to the old. Psalm 71 was captioned, The Prayer of an Old Man for Deliverance. Oh, you're laughing, are you? Psalms 30 Psalms 37:25. I have been young and now I am old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. In my heart, I desired to thank and honor God for saving me for keeping me, for loving me, and for blessing me the way he has all these 67 years, in case no one knows that. The message this morning I entitled, The Many Faces of Grace. And at the end of Jeremiah 30, it says, in the latter days, you will understand. And as I've grown older in the Lord, not chronologically so much, but in walking with the Lord, I'm getting more and more of a clearer understanding of who he is and of his ways. To discern as well as to understand and experience God's ways and works. And that's actually what this life is all about, if we were to summarize it, to experience his ways and his works. 1 Corinthians 2:14 captures this concept. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised or spiritually discerned. And that's why we need to cultivate a deeper relationship with Holy Spirit. If we're going to understand these things, it's going to be through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's the scripture or the circumstances in your life, they will all fall under this concept. The many faces of grace. Number one, from verse 2, it says, grace in the wilderness. Oh my goodness, if there was ever a place that you needed his grace, it's in your wilderness place. It refers specifically to Numbers chapter 14, we don't have to go there, where the Israelites rebelled and God responds to Moses, verse 12, I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they. But Moses intercedes and God relents in verse 20. He says, I have pardoned them according to your word. Illustrates the power of your prayers as a believer. So it illustrates in an Old Testament framework the grace of God. And if you were to research it, you would find that the word grace is actually only found 9 times in the Old Testament, but it's found 114 times in the New Testament, because now we are under grace, not under the law. So a couple of, and that word in the Old Testament is really translated as favor. Both favor of God or favor in our petitions to God. That would be the context of grace in the Old Testament. But in the New, I selected a few. John 1:16, for of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. More and more grace. Grace when you need it, in other words. Great grace for what God has called you to experience and to do in your life. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And finally, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Awesome scripture. And it also points points to our position and access to the very throne of Almighty God. So grace in the wilderness is God meeting you, being there for you in trials, testing, and trouble, and allowing you to find him and draw upon his strength. That's what grace in the wilderness is. If I could summarize it, that's the way I would say it. Finding, he allows you to find him and draw upon his strength, provision, and grace when you're at your wit's end, at the end of your rope, or without a prayer, as the expression goes. And I think we've all been there at one time or another. Even though we actually know that God's not going to leave us, we know he's faithful, he's trustworthy, but we allow circumstances to ruin our perspective of who God is and who we are in Christ. I have found him to be willing and available during my darkest hours. And yes, I have them. I still have them, by the way. When I feel hopeless or helpless, but you need to remember to call upon him, and he's always there. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And see, that's the trumpet that was spoken of earlier in the service. Exercising the trumpet, releasing the word of God that's, you know, that word of truth that you know because you've read it and you've also experienced it. Secondly, grace in love and loving kindness. Verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love, he says. And even in an Old Testament context here, God appears. Do you understand? He actually shows up in a personal way, even in an Old Testament framework here. And he speaks. He doesn't send somebody else to speak. He's speaking himself here. Likewise, Deuteronomy 4:37, because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he personally, that's what the scripture says, he personally brought you from Egypt by his great power. I don't know about you, but my experience is God just apprehended me. He pulled me out from all the crap that I was involved in. He personally did it. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that speaks of who God is? That he wants to be intricately involved in every detail of our life and exercise his great power. Little story for you. Little love story. We all like a good love story, don't we? I read about a young man who was determined to win the affection of a lady who refused to even talk to him. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's not a good place. Here was his strategy. He decided that the way to her heart was through the mail, so he began writing her love letters. He wrote a love letter every day to this lady. 6-7 times a week, she got a love letter from him. When she didn't respond, he increased the output to 3 notes every 24 hours. In all, he wrote her more than 700 letters, and she wound up marrying the mailman. That's not who our God is. He receives our love letters and he answers them personally. And the Bible is full of expressions of love and for mankind in general, but also for you and I personally, such as John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe on him would not spend eternity in hell. Paraphrasing, obviously. Ephesians 2:4-5, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, in parentheses. But it also says in verse 8 there, same chapter 2, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that salvation is what it's really saying, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The greatest gift you'll ever receive is salvation from Jesus Christ. And it also talks about his loving kindness in that same verse. And it's Psalms 63:3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. Not because everything's going your way, but because God is good all the time. Even when you don't feel it, he's still good. That's who he is. Romans 2:4, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And how true. You know, he doesn't give us what we deserve. You understand? You don't get what you deserve. You get his love. That's an awesome trade-off. You ought to realize how blessed you are today and every day. When you realize and are secure in his love, you will not fall prey to the lies of the enemy. We need to accept his unconditional love so we can live in faith and not in fear. And so I could add fear of man or fear, oh, if I do this, if I do what God's asking of me, what will happen? If I give that $100, where am I going to? I had a purpose for that. You understand? You don't have to fear. If you know and hear the voice of God, he's going to take care of it when you obey. Period. That's who he is. He's trustworthy. And he loves you with an everlasting love. The many faces of his grace. Number 3, grace in building and rebuilding life. Verse 4 says there, again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt. It actually is referring to the nation of Israel in particular there, but the principle is for the body of Christ and for you and I individually, God will do the work if we allow him to do it. We have to make the right choices, the righteous choices, and do what he asks of us. Jeremiah 24, verse 6. I will build them up and I will plant them. Jeremiah 33, verse 7. I will restore their fortunes and I will rebuild them. And then this one is of particular significance. I'm going to read it all as she puts it up. I believe it has prophetic significance for the church at this time. Zechariah 4, 6 to 10. Then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. And he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it." You understand, Zerubbabel was the one in charge of the rebuilding of the temple. And the top stone is completing the work. Also, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth." This is a powerful prophetic utterance, not just to Zerubbabel, not just to through Zechariah, but to you and I, for this church and for your life as well. And if you want to research it, you can go back to, we're not going to go there now, but Ezra chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, and also chapter 5, verse 2. Shouts of grace, grace. Nothing happens in your life without God's grace. Your health, your calling, your ministry, your faith, a word, no matter what it is, there's always God's grace involved in it. Sometimes we don't sense it, sometimes we don't see it, but that does not mean it's not there, because it is. And grace not just in the tough times, but in the good times or the God times as well. Second Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power, his power, is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses," Paul says, "that the power of Christ may dwell in me." So the foundation, whether it's the temple that it's being referred to here, literally, or the foundation in your life, is laid by God's grace. And the work is completed by God's grace in your life as well. So we need to let him build your house. He does all things well. Mark 7:37. And also Psalms 127, verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Number 4, grace in prayer and in declaration, verse 6 and verse 9. "By supplication I will lead them." So it's saying there that God even gives you the grace to pray. How many times do you pray and you don't want to pray or you don't feel like praying, but you do it and God blesses you, God shows up It happens to me every single week without fail. His grace shows up. My wife can testify many times, I really don't want to go to corporate prayer. Now, isn't that horrible for the pastor to say? Being honest, I don't want to. But I honor God by going, and I get blessed. I'm tired, but when I leave, I'm refreshed. That's God's grace that was released because he wanted me to go. I should go, and I did go, and he released his grace upon me for obeying him. Just being honest. Grace in prayer. He gives you the grace to pray. And it also says in verse 6, the watchman shall call out. And that's speaking of intercession and declaration as well. Two very important elements in the body of Christ and individually in your life as well. So he gives you the grace to pray, but he leads you in what to pray. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm surprised at what I pray. I hadn't intended on saying that before I opened my mouth. But I open my mouth, and he fills it. I think we can give chapter and verse on that one also. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness. The Spirit himself intercedes for us according to the will of God. And I'd like to read the Amplified here. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Aren't you glad? Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. If you call upon the Holy Spirit, you will never, ever be at a loss for what to say or to speak into your situation or your circumstances. He knows exactly how to hit the target. Problem is, we don't ask. We try to work, you know, we try to be spiritual. Wrong. Wrong. Call upon him. He'll give you the words and what to pray. Waiting on the Lord is essential to hear and then speak and do or obey. Isaiah 40, 31. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain, or I would say find, new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. So we need to learn to wait in prayer. And he will speak, though often not when or how you think. That's been my experience. Number 5, from verse 9, grace in provision and direction. says, I will make them walk by streams of water. That's representative of God's provision. Psalms 36:8. They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and thou dost give them to drink of the river of thy delights. You understand, if I were to paraphrase this, what it's saying is God gives you everything you need. He is the one who satisfies, and he will give you that which satisfies. Period. So if you're looking anywhere else, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Psalms 36:8. Also says there in verse 9, he will keep them on a straight path in which they shall not stumble. How about that one? He will keep you on the path. It's not your will. It's not your gifting. It's not how much you pray, or how much you want it or will it. It says he will keep you on a straight path so you will not stumble. But you have to trust him. You have to seek him. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. And he, God the Father, delights in his way, and so forth. He delights in seeing you succeed and being obedient to walk in his ways and his paths. So we need to seek him for and walk in his provision of grace and supply. And I would add, God is good all the time. And he is more than enough. We've heard this, but I'm going to repeat it. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. See, you don't have to worry about where your needs are going to come from, because that's an ironclad promise from the Word of God. He will supply all your needs. So we need to recognize and be thankful for and experience the many faces of grace. And there's much more I could say on this. And God's given me the grace to finish in a little over half an hour so that you're not fidgeting in your seats. God is good. So I just pray that you won't forget what you heard today. You know, it's so easy. You know, you leave here, you get back in all the hustle and bustle of life and all the things you got to do, and then you lose sight of the significance of what God spoke and what God actually did today. I'm telling you, he did some things. There's no doubt in my mind that he did. And so just purpose to be more thankful, if I could say anything. Because that's where joy comes from. It comes from a thankful heart. You know, you're not meant to be a sad sack. You know? You're meant to be filled with his presence and his joy. Wherever you go, you're his ambassador. Come on. So I hope you take a few moments to greet one another downstairs and have a cup of Joe with Joe. I'm full of it today. What can I say? I mean, I got plenty more. If you want to stay another half an hour, I'll just keep going. Only kidding. God bless you. I'm having fun, and I hope you are too. We'll see you real soon.